Channel Africa.
It has gone exactly 8 minutes after 6 p.m. Central African time. We continue our look at the alcohol industry in South Africa. You'll remember last week we spoke to the Southern African Alcohol Policy Alliance, and they gave their reaction on what the alcohol industry says about the increase in excise taxes. In South Africa, VAT, or value-added tax, is at 15%, and then each of the alcoholic beverages are also levied with an extra tax, the excise tax, otherwise known as the sin tax. At the moment, it's sitting at around 11% for wine and 23% for beer and 36 to 48% for spirits. So there are ongoing proposals by National Treasury to introduce tiered strength-based taxation. So we'll have a conversation this evening with Dr. David Harrison, who's the CEO of the D.G. Murray Trust. Now, he also disputes some of the myths that have come out of the alcohol industry. The argument from the alcohol industry that an introduction and an increase in these taxes fuels illicit trade. Let's hear from the CEO of D.G. Murray Trust this evening about his view and their organization's view. Well, they're basically saying that higher excise taxes essentially cut excessive consumption, they reduce health costs, and they also protect society without harming national revenue. But here he is, Dr. Harris himself, to break this down for us this evening. Welcome, Doctor. Good to have you with us on African Business.
Thanks so much, Tommy. Great to be on your show.
So I've pretty much summarized a little bit of what your standpoint is regarding the impact of increased taxes on alcohol in the industry. What is your reaction to what the alcohol industry is saying, that this will actually increase illicit trade?
So the alcohol industry in South Africa contributes to taxes, it contributes to jobs, it contributes to tourism. So it has a positive effect on the economy, but only at low to moderate levels of consumption. So only for people who drink less than two drinks a day. For people who drink more, three, four, five drinks a day, the net effect on our economy is negative. The harm that is caused from alcohol exceeds the taxes that come in. Productivity losses erode some of the job benefits. Tourism is deterred by crime. And the tipping point is around two drinks a day on average. In South Africa, the average consumption based on excise statistics is about 3.5 drinks per day. And we know that that is associated with a risk of harm, both of illness leading to death and injury to yourself and to others, of 4 times higher than if you didn't drink. So we're not anti-alcohol, but what we are saying is that we have a major problem in South Africa of a proportion of our population, and it's a significant proportion, 3/4 of our population, who are on the wrong side of the equation in terms of economic benefit, and 1/4 of the population that's actually drinking more than 5 drinks a day, which is associated with an 8-fold increase in risk. So that's what has to be dealt with. What international experience shows is that by pushing up excise taxes, by introducing minimum unit pricing, both in developed countries and in low and middle income countries, what it does is it reduces consumption, particularly heavy consumption. It improves health outcomes, so less hospital admissions for injury and for illness, and it brings in extra revenue to government. That's pretty much across the board. Now, that's not to say that illicit alcohol is not a problem. It's a criminal thing that needs to be dealt with. But what we see from the experience right across the world is that illicit markets themselves are not necessarily associated with tax increases. It depends on what how government responds. But secondly, it doesn't neutralize the health benefits, the economic benefits of increasing those taxes. In fact, it does the reverse. It works, but at the same time, we have to confront illicit markets because they are corrosive.
So when the finance minister announces the national budget every year, without fail, the alcohol taxes are more often than not increased. As far as you are concerned, is that the right approach for him in order to achieve what you've just highlighted, less consumption and thus safeguarding the community and impacting positively on the social aspects of the country?
Yeah, so excise taxes are not like like ordinary company taxes. Excise taxes, for the sin taxes, are meant to do two things. One is they're meant to make the industry, in this case, the alcohol industry, pay for the harm that it causes to society. And secondly, it's meant to price alcohol at a level that discourages heavy drinking. So it's got this dual objective. So if we look at the first objective, and studies have been done looking at the cost of the direct harm of alcohol. I'm only talking about the direct cost attributable to alcohol, from policing, healthcare, social services, etc. What we see is that the industry is underpaying for that direct harm by between 15 and 35%, depending on whether you believe industry-aligned researchers or health economists. So the point is that you and I, Tommy, are subsidizing the direct harm that is caused by the liquor industry. So that's the first sort of anchor point that the Minister of Finance should take into account, is to say, well, we need to ensure that the liquor industry at least covers the cost of harm. But obviously we don't want so much harm. We know that alcohol accounts for 50% of is associated with 50% of homicides, 40% of rapes, 20% of car accidents. This is not a type of society we need. So we've got to find a way to decrease the consumption. And our view is that this type of taxing can actually achieve a 15% reduction in total alcohol consumption, the pure alcohol, amount of pure alcohol that is consumed by 2030. And if we do that, we will avoid several tens of thousands of life events that are either fatal or serious. I'm talking here about murders and rapes and all the rest of it. So those are the type of targets that we want government to set, rather than just sort of routinely increasing excise tax rates. Let's be clear on what can be achieved and let's work towards it.
So what would be the economic, the impact rather, on the economic contribution of taxes in the country's coffers, should there be, let's say, that reduction in consumption, for example?
Well, evidence from a lot of countries, almost all countries, is that in fact tax revenues will go up. But it's not necessarily the case, and South Africa is a case in point. So if we look at tobacco taxation in South Africa, which started to increase sharply between 2000 and 2008, what it did is it had a dampening effect on smoking. Tax revenues increased over that period, and then it sort of flattened until about 2015. In 2015, the specialized investigation units at SARS were disbanded under Commissioner Moyane, and that meant that there was no control in place. And lo and behold, illicit markets started to flourish. So I'm not saying that illicit markets can't happen, but it really depends on whether government takes it seriously, whether it has in place the type of mechanisms like track and trace mechanisms to follow alcohol through the system to prevent it from happening. If you have dubious executive action like we had in 2015, which almost seemed to be complicit with the alcohol industry, then in fact we are going to get illicit markets. But you know what? We cannot predicate our public policy on the assumption that government can't control crime. You know, otherwise we'd have to stop a social security system so that we prevent administrative fraud. We'd have to stop infrastructure programs because we don't want the construction mafia to be in place. So we have to do the right thing, but we have to put in place the systems and the mechanisms to make sure that criminals don't take advantage.
And how has government reacted to your standpoint? You, as well as other NGOs, are raising pretty similar issues. What has been their appetite to your vantage point?
Well, I mean, the proposals came from government themselves, and they were very well considered, very, 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 very evidence-based. Now, there has been a process of engagement with them, and what's been shown through modeling and careful review is that some tweaking of what's been proposed could, in fact, achieve a greater impact even than the proposals that are on the table. And so National Treasury is going through an incredibly consultative process with business, with health activists, with other civil society partners, to ensure that they're listening to everybody. I mean, we're absolutely aware of the risk of jeopardizing jobs and employment in South Africa. And so some of the additional proposals that we're putting on the table are proposals to ensure that you protect small producers, wineries, craft beer, etc. There are ways to do it. And so these are the additional type of proposals that government hadn't considered that we think are important. Even as we argue for strength-based tax excise, we must also ensure that we're creating the incentives for industry to reformulate their products to lower alcohol consumption, lower alcohol levels, particularly for beer. And we must put in place mechanisms to protect small producers. All of those can happen. And if we do that, we will optimize the economic and health and social windfalls for our country.
All right, Dr. Harris, we'll leave it at that for this evening. We thank you so much for your input. That's Dr. Harris. He is the CEO of the DG Murray Trust. And it brings us to exactly 21 minutes after 6.